Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites history.com and onthisday.com. Question number one, which of the following is not a true statement about the month of May? Is it A, May is named after a Roman goddess? Is it B, the full moon in May is known as the flower moon? Is it C, Irish folklore warns against marrying during this month? Or is it D, May Basket Day encourages suitors to hang flower baskets on the doors of their beloved? Or was it E? All of the above are true statements about the month of May. Question number two, which year is credited with the birth of rock and roll music? Was it A, 1945, B, 1950, C, 1955, or D, 1960? So when was rock and roll supposedly born anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May the 1st. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1786, you may remember, that the Mozart opera, The Marriage of Figaro, premiered in Vienna. So, Figaro, 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 and that was today, back in 1786. And it was 54 years ago today, 1972, that Paul Simon released his self-titled solo debut album, and that was back in 1972 today.
Ain't sky and sea, some of that blue's bound to get on me, but the blue don't come to stay. They'll move away on a better day. Troubles and woes and misery ain't gonna get the best of me. Lift the shades, fix my gaze on a better day. Clear the way.
Dolly Parton's Better Day introduces our country music news. It was on this very day, back in 1986, that Dolly would open in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. As noted in an AI overview, Dollywood began as Rebel Railroad in 1961, featuring a steam train, general store, and saloon. It was rebranded as Gold Rush Junction in 1970 and Silver Dollar City in 1977, before Dolly Partner partnered with Hershen Family Entertainment to rebrand it as Dollywood in 1986, instantly doubling visitors and shifting the focus to Smoky Mountain culture. The park transformed from a small frontier attraction into a world-class theme park, adding water parks, resorts, and numerous roller coasters. The park emphasizes Appalachian culture, featuring artisans, southern food, and musical traditions. Today, the park attracts over 3 million visitors annually and serves as a major tourist driver in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Dolly Parton owns 50% of that park.
Some of that blue's gonna fall on me. Oh, the future's looking bright. There's a better day. Look away, look away.
And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, How Do You Listen to Music? Alone or with others? Here's how listening has evolved down the centuries. Should music be enjoyed as part of a social occasion or heard in absolute silence? Opinions have altered radically over the centuries. This is written by Ivan Hewitt, BBC Music Magazine, July 4th, 2024. Listeners are the unsung heroes and heroines of classical music. Composers have their reverent biographers and statues in the public square. Performers have ecstatic fans, the limos and the recordings contracts. But who cares about the poor old listener, the third member of the Holy Trinity of music? It's not as if listeners don't earn their keep. Listening is a strenuous business. Listening to classical music isn't just humming along to the melody. It's conveyed in patterns of notes to the listener in ways that aren't obvious. The vision is sometimes hidden and can be revealed only by attentive listening and patient study. Philosophers, psychologists, sociologists, and cultural historians have all found this subject fascinating, as, of course, have musicologists. This interest in how people actually listen to classical music and other sorts of music is a recent phenomenon. Well into the 20th century, discussion about listening was prescriptive, not descriptive. There was a right way to listen and a right way to respond, and woe betide anyone who got it wrong. In 1897, How to Listen to Music, a weighty tome full of finger-wagging advice, was published. It's a wonder anyone dared to go to a concert in the late 19th century. This attitude lingered well into the 20th century, though the writer's tone was more friendly. Aaron Copland's What to Listen for in Music and Anthony Hopkins Talking About Music still assume that listening is a skill and that without it, we miss much that music has to offer. Today, scholars have come round to thinking that a certain humility is in order. Looking into how people actually listen, rather than telling them how they ought to listen, is the order of the day. To do that requires facts, which by their nature are elusive, as listening has become an increasingly private affair. For researchers interested in how we listen now, no sort of music is too humdrum, and no music too ephemeral. They are interested in the way music weaves itself into our everyday lives. In this worldview, there are no hierarchies. The experience of half-listening to Bon Jovi album while doing the ironing is just as revealing of human feelings as a Beethoven string quartet listened to in rapt silence at Wigmore Hall. Turning to the other sort of research, the sort that examines modes of listening in cultures distant from ours, if by distance we mean non-Western cultures, then we may find that the listening experience is not just elusive, but non-existent. In many cultures, everyone participates, either by playing, dancing, or joining in the ritual which the music articulates. There are no listeners as such. Even within the field of classical music, the presence of rapt, attentive listeners is not a given. If anything, it's the exception. A late flower of an art music culture which could only blossom in the special climate of the Romantic era. Before that, music wasn't thought of as a vehicle for a special kind of intimate private experience. Its role was social, and if people listened, it was so they could display their knowledge and engage in disputes about the quality of this or that singer or player. But a change was in the air. A genuine culture of listening came into being, which in turn prompted a respect for the integrity of musical works. It was a new cult of reverent silence. After this, no lord or lady present, however distinguished, dared to interrupt the music by fashionable or any other kind of chatter. It wasn't long before the new fashion for silence became a norm to be sternly enforced. It is exceedingly vulgar to annoy your neighbors by beating time, humming the tunes, or making unseemly and ridiculous gestures of admiration, said George Watson's Etiquette for All in 1861, which is more or less where we are at today, except that once again, change is in the air. There's a sense that concert behavior has become too formal, and that classical music can only win new audiences by relaxing the rules. But in any case, how true is the ideology of pure music to the way we actually attend to music? Don't we all have mixed motives when going to a concert? Which is as much to do with meeting like-minded people as it is to listening to masterworks? To say that isn't to denigrate music itself. It simply acknowledges that the role of music in our lives is complex and as varied as human life itself. Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled 1975 hit named Greatest Guitar Solo of All Time by Guitarists. This is written by Bethany Gemmell on the 25th of April 2026 in Men's Journal. The votes are in from guitarists across the globe, and perhaps not surprisingly, one of the most iconic songs of all time produced the most iconic guitar solo of all time. Bohemian Rhapsody, the 1975 rock opera by Queen, was chosen by guitar players across Guitar World's readership as the home of their favorite ever guitar solo, as expertly performed and composed by Brian May. The 30-second-long bridge between the ballad and what would later be referred to as the operatic section of this 6-minute epic is a short and sweet musical interlude, as described by Guitar World, upon its coronation as music's greatest, beating out the likes of Eddie Van Halen and Pink Floyd's David Gilmour. His phrasing is loose and natural, moving across the backbeat, rather than sticking to a rigidly timed grid, the publication wrote, Brian's articulate pre-bend and vibrato technique demonstrates his beautiful touch. Somehow, within the confines of the complex structure of Bohemian Rhapsody, this solo just works, the magazine declared. Perhaps echoing this, May recalled that the piece came to him naturally, rather than something he had spent hours crafting. I basically sang it. I regard the guitar in that situation as a voice. I could hear this melody, and I had no idea where it came from. Simon, You're the One, introduces our local music news, and as noted earlier, it was 54 years ago today that Simon released his solo debut album. This article's titled, How to Get $30 Concert Tickets to See Popular Artists, Including Paul Simon, in Raleigh this year. This is written by Simone Jasper in the News and Observer on the 26th of April, 2026. Summer is almost here, so get ready to rock, Raleigh. Whether you're a fan of rock star Billy Idol or rapper Lil Wayne, you may be able to see your favorite artist perform for the price of dining out. That's because Live Nation is offering $30 tickets to dozens of Raleigh concerts that are scheduled from the spring through the fall. And some fans already can get access to seats, the entertainment company wrote in a Thursday, April 23rd news release. Here's the Raleigh concert lineup and how the Summer of Live ticket deal works. Which Raleigh concerts cost $30? The promotion includes popular artists from several genres, including country, pop, and R&B. In Raleigh, 40 concerts are part of the deal. Publicist Ike Richmond shared with the News and Observer via email Thursday, April 23rd. We're sharing a breakdown of the participating concerts based on the outdoor venues that are hosting them. First, here are the headliners in alphabetical order, set to play at Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek, located on Rock Quarry Road. 5 Seconds of Summer, Baby Metal, Billy Idol, The Black Crows, Breaking Benjamin, Death Cab for Cutie, Empire of the Sun, Evanescence, Five Finger Death Punch, Hank Williams Jr., Hardy, Keisha, Kid Cudi, Kid Rock, Lil Wayne, MGK, Ne-Yo and Akon, Paul Simon, Peso Pluma, Pitbull, Stained, TLC and Salt and Pepper, Toto, and Train.
Nature gives us shapeless shapes, clouds and waves and flame. But human expectation is that love remains the same. And when it doesn't, we point our fingers and blame.
That was Paul Simon, You're the One. And here's the schedule of participating shows at Red Hat Amphitheater, located on South McDowell Street in downtown Raleigh. Bilmoni, Bleachers, Deep Purple, Dermont Kennedy, Ella Mai, Grupo Fonterra, Iration, Lindsey Stirling, Madison Beer, Marcus King, OAR, Rise Against, Sam Barber, Turnpike Troubadours, Young the Giant. Additionally, the list includes the Guns N' Roses show at Carter Finley Stadium on Trinity Road, according to Richmond. Early access to the $30 ticket started Thursday, April 23rd. To see if you are eligible to buy seats now, visit LiveNation.com. Then on Wednesday, April 29, the list of the more than 4,000 participating concerts across North America will be publicly available. That same day, tickets will go on sale for members of the general public at LiveNation.com/Summer of Live. Live Nation said it's possible for tickets to sell out, so you may want to act fast. The $30 promotion ends Tuesday, May the 5th. Summer of Live tickets are $30 all in, with all fees included in the price you see, the entertainment company wrote on its website. Taxes will be added at checkout where applicable by city, state, and/or venue. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following is not a true statement about the month of May? Is it A, May is named after a Roman goddess? Was it B, the full moon in May is known as the flower moon? Is it C, Irish folklore warns against marrying during this month, with the proverb, marry in May, and you'll rue the day? Or is it D, May Basket Day encouraged suitors to hang flower baskets on the doors of their beloved? Or is it E, all of the above are true statements about the month of May? Correct answer? Answer E, all the above are true. As noted in the surprising history of May, Maypole Dances, Celestial Wonders, and Military Campaigns, published in History.com by Leslie Kennedy. May isn't just about blooming flowers and warming weather. It's a month steeped in traditions like offerings to a Roman goddess, maypole dances, and celestial wonders. Its history is rich with agricultural celebrations and labor strikes that shaped International Workers' Day, not to mention its role in pivotal military campaigns. Here's a closer look at the month of May. May's ancient origins. May is named after the Roman goddess Maia, associated with growth and fertility. Ancient Romans made offerings to Maia to ensure agricultural prosperity. May proverbs and a forgotten tradition. You've likely heard April showers bring May flowers, traced to a 1557 English poem. But what about a swarm of bees in May is worth a load of hay? The English beekeeping proverb, valuing May's bee swarms, dates to the mid-17th century, and Irish folklore warns against marrying during this month with the proverb, marry in May and you'll rue the day. One May tradition rarely continued today is May Basket Day. During the 19th and 20th centuries, May 1st was a day to hang baskets full of flowers and treats on the doors of friends or romantic interests. In 1927, two girls bought May baskets for First Lady Grace Coolidge at the White House. She gifted them flowers in return. And the answer to our second question, which year is credited with the birth of rock and roll music? Is it A, 1945, B, 1950, C, 1955, or D, 1960? Correct answer? Probably answer C, 1955. Gary Trust, in an 8/4/22 Billboard.com article, notes that 1955 is often considered the start of the rock era, 3 years before the Hot 100 began, tied to the reign on predecessor charts of Bill Haley and his Comets' Rock Around the Clock. That song returned and became a number 39 Hot 100 hit in 1974, fueled by its usage in the movie American Graffiti. A re-recorded version by the band subsequently served as the TV theme to Happy Days, and as noted in OnThisDay.com, even the 1955 may be credited with the birth of rock and roll by some. Its overlap with other music genres has been evident both in that year and, as noted in this article, in the year following its birth, 1956 on this day. For the first time in Billboard chart history, five singles were in both the pop and R&B top ten. The singles were Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel, Carl Perkins' Blue Suede Shoes, Little Richard's Long Tall Sally, The Platters' Magic Touch, and Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers' Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Rock is not a single category of music, if it ever was. It has merged with other genres, including blues, jazz, classical, folk, and country. So let's close out today's program with an example of that merger. Here's the very first single ever released by this country rock group, the Eagles, Take It Easy, which was released on this very day back in 1972.
Seven women on my mind. Four that want to own me, two that want to stone me, one says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, mcreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.